So let's flip back to your number two question, which is R maintenance. Where are we with that?
Well, the issue with rituximab maintenance is essentially trying to extrapolate from the relapse setting to the frontline setting. And so the key experiments that were out there is the Van Oor study, which took patients who had relapsed follicular lymphoma, who had never had rituximab, and they were randomized to CHOP versus R-CHOP, plus or minus maintenance rituximab for 2 years. And in that study, there was a tremendous benefit from the addition of rituximab maintenance to either group, including to the R-CHOP group. And so that was the surprise of that study. The temptation in that study is to say, well, these people are all rituximab naive, and that can't be that much different than the frontline setting. So the question is, should we now be using R-CHOP, for example, followed by 2 years of maintenance as a standard of care for the frontline patients? And at least on the surface, it seems like a very, very reasonable thing. I'd be cautious, though, because if you look strongly at that data, the reason rituximab maintenance probably works in that setting is that there are so many events expected in the first couple of years. When you're in a relapse setting, the benefit of your therapy is much, much, much shorter. So, for example, in the Van Oor study, the median time to progression in the CHOP arm was only a year, okay? And even in the R-CHOP arm, it was only 2 years. That's a lot less than what you'd expect in upfront R-CHOP, which is nearly 5 years. So if you have a whole bunch of events occurring in the first 1 or 2 years, then it wouldn't be unreasonable that if the maintenance therapy does something, that it might contribute to improved outcome. I'm a little skeptical, though, if you're only going to have 10% of your events happening in the first couple of years, whether maintenance is going to be easy to be shown as beneficial.
Although I guess it could have a delayed effect.